As they're walking out, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. We read this whole passage this morning. We're just going to look at a couple of verses, though. Last week, we talked about the Word of God in Hebrews chapter 4. And this week, we're going to look at the will of God. And those two things go hand in hand. Of course, the Word of God is where we find the will of God as we study and we look to the Lord to show us what He wants us to do. So often it's a struggle. I mentioned this before, and as I think about the will of God, I remember when I went to Bible college, in the back of my mind I was thinking, I'm going to Bible college so I can find the will of God. And I learned later on that that was a misconception, that was wrong. I didn't go to the Bible college to find the will of God. I should have been in the will of God right then and there. And that is a daily thing. We can be in the will of God today, okay? And so obviously, in my mind, it was the will of God that I go to Bible college, but it wasn't to go just seek His, like, I'm going to get a three-year degree or a four-year degree, and then I'm going to know what the will of God is. It doesn't work that way. God wants us to be in His will each day. So we look at that this morning. We're going to begin. Go ahead and stand, if you would. We're going to read these verses again. Hebrews chapter 13, we're going to begin in verse 20, and we're just going to go down to verse, 22, I think. Let's begin. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, according in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, for I have written a letter unto you in a few words. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Word of God that we have this morning. We hold these things precious and dear to ourselves, knowing that to know You is to know this, the Bible. You've given it to us that we might have an understanding of what Your plan is for us. And Father, we just thank You for allowing these folks, of course, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, then also these men to follow and to trust You and walk with You as well. So we have these examples. And I pray You continue to guide and direct in our lives as we look to You this morning to know the will of God. We thank You for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The will of God, it's interesting because when you think about a flock of sheep, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ being the shepherd, when you see a flock of sheep, all the flock aren't lined up one after another. Now, they're just kind of scattered out. There's some up front, there's some back and farther and farther. So there's all kinds. They're a big group kind of thing, okay? That's what kind of way the sheep do things or whatever, and the shepherd leads those. So, again, that means that the will of God for all of us, if you think about it, is the same going to a general sense, but not specific. There is a specific will of God for every individual. And the Word of God teaches us that through the study and as God works in our lives, in our hearts. He lays things on our hearts to accomplish the will of God, which is obviously some things we're going to look at this morning. So as we look at this will, this word will, God's will, if you will, this is a Greek word, and it means determination. It means choice. It means inclination. In other words, God's will or God's determination. That's what God is determining for us in our lives. It's His inclination in our lives. It's His choice for our lives. When you look at the word, it's translated in the Bible three different words. It's translated as will. It's translated as pleasure. It's also translated as desire. In Ephesians 2:3, it says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, the lust of the flesh fulfilling the desires or the will of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So we have a will, right? We have a desire. We have a determination, even before salvation, obviously. We have our will, and then there's God's will. Revelation 4:11 says, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for Thou hast created all things for Thy pleasure. They are and were created. That word pleasure is the same word, and it could be will. Thy will, they are and were created. And then when Jesus was speaking about the lost sheep, he said in Matthew 18:14, even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. And that's true today. We know that. That is one of the most important things, is that the very first thing we understand about God's will is that none should perish. And we'll talk about that in a few moments.
But this is what, a dilemma for us, is that we all want to know God's will. We all want to know, what does God want me to do? And God brings us along. You know, you don't know the will of God the day you get saved. It's not like, whoa, I mean, when I say the will of God, the complete, total, totality of the Word of God, what He's going to lead you and how He's going to guide you, because it's a step-by-step process. When I got saved, I was excited. I was saved. And then as I continued to study, continued to go to church, listen to my pastor, listen and read the Word of God, God started showing me things in the Bible and started changing my life. It's transforming. It's a power that works in our lives through the Spirit of God. And so we all want to know what that will is. The will of God today, what God has shown you today, may not be the same as tomorrow, because we're all growing and we get to step through this. And that's what's exciting about it, is to see growth, to see how God is working in your life, see how God is transforming you or changing you into His image. And so we all want to know what God's purpose is, what God's choice or determination is in our lives. We want to ascertain what God really wants. And sometimes this is a perplexing question. And of course, our best example is Jesus Himself. And Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 says, "Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." When Christ came on this earth for those 33 years, went to the cross, died, was buried, and rose again, He did all of that according to the will of God. Of course, we know He is God, and some of that I don't even understand, but I believe it. So He came to fulfill it, and He did by completing the work. In John 17:4, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." Jesus came to do something, and He did it in the will of God. John 6:38, Jesus said, "For I have come down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." So Jesus came for a specific purpose, and we have a specific purpose as well. So again, as I mentioned, the first thing is salvation. Turn to your Bible, turn in your Bible to John chapter 6, if you will. This is the discourse on Jesus speaking that He is the bread of life. Just want to look at this for just a few moments here. John chapter 6, find that, verse 35. And I'll see if I can find a bottle here, excuse me. Again, this is Jesus speaking. In verse 35, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will," we already read that, "but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." So Jesus is talking about this. He's given us a metaphor, which He does many times. He talks about a well of water springing up into everlasting life. He talks about the bread of life, and there are other metaphors He uses of Himself. And what He's saying is that if we put our faith and trust in Him, that we'll have eternal life. And this is God's will for our lives. It's God's will for everybody's life on the face of this earth. That's why He sent Jesus, was for that very purpose, that people would put their faith and trust in Him. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter wrote, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promises. Some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's the will of God, is that everybody would know Jesus Christ as their Savior. When John, he wrote this in John chapter 1, verse 11, he says, "He came unto his own received Him not, but as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name." And then the next verse, verse 13 says, "Which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." And when you look at that and you break that down, what He's saying there is that it's only by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that we can have salvation. It doesn't come by who my family members are. blood, in other words. My parents are not going to get me to heaven. It didn't come by my own will, my struggle, my I want to do this. It had to be through Jesus Christ. And it didn't come by some other man's will to help me to get to Jesus by pulling me there. I had to come by way of Jesus Christ, the will of God. It's by His will and His only. So God's will is that we're all saved, that we put our faith and trust in Jesus. Galatians 1:4, Paul wrote, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present world according to the will of God and our Father. So one thing we know for sure, for a certainty, before we even start anywhere else, is that it's the will of God that all men, women, children will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That is the will of God. And so most of us have done that already and understand that. There are some in this room that probably haven't yet, and we are praying that they will, because that's the most important step you can make in your life. There's none other step that's greater than that one. Not marriage, not buying a house, buying a car, not your career. None of those are as important as putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's the first step. But it's also God's will that we'd understand God Himself. Turn to Romans chapter 12 for a second. Romans chapter 12. I want you to look at verses 1 and 2. Many of you can probably quote these verses. Romans chapter 12. Paul, again, he's writing. And, of course, Paul wrote so many of the epistles, of course, through the power of the Spirit of God. But he's sharing with us these thoughts because these are important. This is a jumping point or a starting point, I guess I should say, for all of us. In verse 1, he says, I beseech you. And that's sort of in a sense that I'm begging or I'm really wanting to encourage you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God wants us to understand what His will is. And He's given us the opportunity to find that. Once you get saved, once you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then God gives you something that will help you to determine your will. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. And He's talking about the Spirit of God. He told us if He went away, He would send the Comforter. And the Comforter is what each one of us has that has been born again in our lives that is going to help us to determine the will of God in our lives. So once saved, we begin by submitting to God, by studying His Word. You know, reading the Bible is submitting to God. That's the one of the first steps of after baptism, of course, is to read the Word of God. And so here, Brother Paul is telling us our bodies, we're to present our bodies. That's the physical being that we are here today. Those things that I see out here sitting. Yeah, I can't see your soul, I can't see your spirit, but I can see your bodies. And you're a good-looking group, by the way. you didn't have to pay me for that. That's all for I'm just kidding. So he tells us our bodies. And he says it's a living sacrifice. You see, Jesus doesn't require that we do the same thing that He did, and that is to physically go to the cross and die. He's giving us the opportunity to live through Him, and that living sacrifice is that we learn to die to ourselves. And that takes a lifetime to learn. So we're a living sacrifice. That word sacrifice, you know what that word means? It means victim. We're to become a living victim. That's what the Bible teaches, a victim. He says, holy, acceptable, which is to be fully agreeable, that acceptable. And Paul put it this way in Hebrews 13:21, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing, that's that same word, fully agreeable, in His sight through Jesus. And so here we see that He wants our bodies. But He also, in verse 2, He says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. That means there's a change. That is a metamorphosis, if you will. If you look that word up, it'll have metamorphosis there. That's a change. Something happens in your life. I don't know about you, but years ago, I thought, I don't want change. I don't like change. And, you know, this world keeps changing. And I don't like some of that. But we equate change with that instead of with what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to change us too. So change is good if it's moving in the right direction, right? Sure. That's what the Bible teaches us. We want to change, and we want that change to be conformed to His image. So he says that he wants us to renew our minds. He says, be not conformed. That word conformed is to fashion alike. It means to conform to the same pattern to this world. That's what the definition says in the Strong's Concordance. He says, but be transformed. That means fashioned as well by the renewing of your mind. That means to take our minds and to change our minds. When you got saved, not right away, but the first thing you had to change your mind was about who Jesus was, who you were, and you're standing before God. You had to change your mind about that. Before I got saved, I thought I was good enough to get to heaven. I thought I was a good enough person that God would be pleased with my actions or whatever. But it wasn't until I realized that my actions were as filthy rags in the sight of God. No matter how good somebody else saw them, no matter how good they thought I was, God saw through all of that and he saw me as my good works, as my righteousness as filthy rags. And when I realized that, I had a renewing of the mind. I had a change of my mind. And by that change, I was able to see that Jesus Christ died for my sins and that I could not earn my way to heaven. I couldn't be good enough to get to heaven. And I had to trust him and him alone. And when I put my faith and trust in Jesus, he changed my life. That was the first transforming thing that happened, was when I accepted Christ as my Savior. So we're to be fashioned or renewed in our minds that we may, it says prove. That word prove is test. How do you prove something? You prove something, excuse me. I'm going to see if there's any water left here and prove this bottle got water in it. You prove something by trying it or testing it. Maybe some of you can remember experiences. One comes to my mind where you get out and there's ice on the lake. Maybe it's early in the season. And you go out there because you're just chomping at the bit. You want to get out there and do some ice fishing or whatever. You're chomping at the bit, so you go walk out there. You kind of look at it, but you go out a little ways, and you notice it's not doing too good. It doesn't feel too stable. Well, you just proved to yourself that I don't want to go fishing today. I'm going to wait until it gets thicker. I'm going to wait until it's better, that's more secure. You prove it. You test it. That's what we're to do with the Word of God, is to test it or prove God's will in our lives. And he says, what is good and acceptable, that is fully agreeable, and perfect. That word perfect, is it means complete. It doesn't mean like we think perfect, but it's complete. And then perfect will of God or determination of God. So that's what God wants us to do, is to look to him, to trust him, and begin renewing our mind. When is our mind finally renewed? It's not until we see Jesus. Then it's all going to be finally renewed. The completion will take place and we'll understand everything. We'll see things clearly, not darkly as we do today. We still see through the mirror and we still have a difficulty seeing all the things that are true. And we're learning that. We're growing in that. And that's what God wants us to do. So it's God's will that we would understand. Jesus, he didn't plan his own life, but did the will of the Father. In John 5:30, he says, I can of my own self do nothing. This is Jesus speaking. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. Again, that point is that it's the will of the Father. That's what each one of us desires in our lives, is to know God's will, to know what he wants us to do, where he wants us to live, who he wants us to live with, what does he want us to do, what's our purpose in this life, what is my purpose on being on this earth. That's what we want to know, is it not? That's what we're trying to find out. What is that? And then go do it, okay, as best we can in the power of the Spirit of God. If you do it in the flesh, you're not going to reap much fruit. True? It is true. It needs to go in the power of the Spirit, God leading and directing, the Word of God speaking through the Spirit of God to teach us to do what God wants us to do. It's just submitting to his plan. And God has a plan right here in the book. It's a completed canon, we call it. All 66 books, we can study it. We can find out what God's will is. But we have to be willing to look and see, because without that, we will not be able to know. We'll struggle with that. Yes, we'll know certain things, and yes, we'll do those things, but God doesn't want us to be stagnant. He doesn't want us to plateau. He doesn't want us to stop, although we all do. There are many times that I have plateaued, if you will, or stopped and thought, well, everything's pretty good right now. I don't need to do anything else. I don't need to move any further forward. But what, in essence, happens is you don't move you don't plateau or stop, you end up going backwards is what happens. And so you always got to be going forward. You always got to be seeking God, always looking for his direction. In Psalm 32:8, it says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. That's what the psalmist said in the Word of God, talking about God. In Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. That means God is pleased when we're stepping in his steps, when we're following Jesus. And that's what he wants us to do. Isaiah 30:21 says, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, or that word means product, if you will, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. That before ordained, it means fit in advance, prepared beforehand. When you accepted Christ as your Savior, he is starting to work in your life, and he has the plan out there. We're still learning that. It's like a job. We've all taken jobs, and you walk in on the ground floor of the job, whatever that job is. You don't really understand everything about it. Now, if you were blessed and the guy took you around and showed you the job and talked a lot about it, at least you had an idea of what it was. I've taken jobs where I didn't know what the job was, just know I needed a job and took it. Okay? That's not the best way to take jobs. But anyway, so you see what's out there. But when you step into that job the first day, you don't know exactly what to do. I mean, somebody there is leading you and giving you instructions, but you don't know how to do everything. And so it takes a while to learn that job. And it takes a lifetime of learning to really be proficient in things that really count, okay? And so that's what it's talking about here, is that we want that. It's the job is there, if you will. It's already prepared. We are his product, God's product, and he wants us to do something. It's all out there, but he wants us to learn step by step what that is and how to do that. In 2 Timothy 3:17 says, that the man of God may be perfect. Again, that's complete. And he really tells us the definition in the next part of the verse, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That means fully equipped. Fully equipped. If we went to the battle, and today, maybe if wherever they're fighting, Afghanistan or wherever, and we went over there and they said, here, this is the only thing you have is you have a vest. You don't have anything else. There's no gun. You don't get to carry any hand grenades. You don't have any support. That's all you got. It's a vest. Go fight the Afghan people or the Taliban or whoever. We wouldn't do too well, would we? Why is that? Because we're not fully equipped. Even before you get the equipment, you need to know how to participate in the battle. You need to know some things about fighting. You need to know what to do and how to do it. And so once you go through, that's what boot camp is all about, and special training, which a lot of these groups have, SEALs and Rangers and some others, so they can be fully equipped. Well, that's what God wants us to be, is fully equipped in this Christian life. And that fully equipped comes from the training that God has for us. And he has it for all of us. So doing the will of God is not doing our will, but it's doing his. And Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. In other words, I have ideas. I have thoughts about things. And I have a lot of those today in my mind about doing stuff that may not be the best way to do it. Because I'm coming up with the ideas or the thoughts or whatever on my own instead of consulting God to find out if that's really what he wants me to do. And there are a lot of principles, there are a lot of things in the Word of God that will teach us there are things that you don't want to do and things you do want to do. And the will of God is always going to be in God's will. Can I say that again? The will of God is always going to be in God's will. So if there's something that goes against the Word of God, can that be God's will? I don't think so. Although God, he has a permissive will that he allows us to go through these things to learn as well. I went through a lot of things and had to learn after coming out through the other side of that wasn't the best choice. God allowed me to do that, but it really, if I would have studied the scriptures, I would have realized that wasn't the thing I should have done. It was because I wasn't fully equipped. I'm not fully equipped today yet. I'm still working on it. It's going to take the rest of my life, however long that is. In Jeremiah 10:23, Jeremiah says, Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. In other words, we need God to lead us and direct us. We think that we can know what's best for our lives. Why do we think our society is so messed up today? You say, what do you mean? Well, the different things that are going on, the homeless people, the things about the drugs, and just all the things that we see, the abortions, all these things going on. Why are people doing that? Because they're not fully equipped, or they don't want to be, or probably more likely is they've never put their faith and trust in Jesus to begin with. So that's the point, is God's will is determined by God, not by me, not by anybody else, but God determines that. In Psalm 1:6, it says, "For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Isaiah 48:17, "Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go." Job 23:10, Job penned, he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." And that's what's going to happen eventually. For every Christian, no matter how difficult or how unequipped you are in this lifetime, when you meet the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to come forth as gold. You will be fully equipped when you see the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the end of that testimony or story. But in the meantime, we need to find it today. We need to know tomorrow what to do. We need to know next day what to do. We need to know for the rest of our lives, and that takes time and growth and understanding. When we know to do right and doeth it not, it is sin, the Bible says. So there's the delineation point, I guess. If you know you're supposed to do something and you don't do it, that makes it sin. If you don't know you're supposed to do something, then you're ignorant, and you still got to learn. And we all have both of those in our lives. There are things I know to do and don't do. There are things I don't know to do yet, and God will reveal those in his time. In 1 Thessalonians 4:3, it says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification." So there are things in the Bible that really you don't have to think about. You don't have to wonder about too much. What does God want me to do? There are some things that he just says, this is the will of God. When it says this is the will of God, that means this is the will of God. Okay? Excuse me. And, of course, that rest of that verse says that you should abstain from fornication. And this text is mainly dealing with that type of immorality situation. But that word sanctification means purity. So we know it's the will of God that we are striving for purity. Are we pure? No. Are we striving? Yes, we are. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17, it says, "Love not the world, neither things that are in the world." Boy, that's hard. I'm telling you. There's things I love that are in the world. "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world." And listen to what it says here. "And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof." That's when we're fully equipped, when we see Jesus. "But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Those things that count today are going to abide forever. Those things that are in the will of God will abide forever. Those things that aren't will not. And again, that's going to determine when we see Jesus, when we talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 3, of the rewards that we're going to get. Because anybody who puts their faith and trust in Jesus is going to be there. And they're going to see Jesus. And like I said, they will be fully equipped at the end. Also, one of the things that is God's will is that we give thanks. I don't know about you, but there are a lot of times I'm mealy-mouthed and mumbling and grumbling and saying things I shouldn't say as the Lord has allowed things in my life, instead of saying, "Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to go through this. Thank you, Lord, for allowing this test to come into my life, because I know you have a plan and purpose for it." Instead, you're kicking around, "Oh, man, why'd this happen to me? It's not fair, etc. That is not the will of God. Although we do it, do we not? Amen, we do. But we learn and we see that this is what he doesn't want us to do, so we strive not to do it. Are we going to be perfect in that? No. But we're going to continue to grow in that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So that's the will of God. We ought to pray according to his will. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." So can we pray and ask things that are not according to his will and he will not hear us? Well, that's the opposite of what John is writing here. There are things we pray for that are not the will of God, and God is not going to answer those prayers because he's going to answer those according to his will. He says, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have petitions that we desire of him. We know there are certain things we ought to pray for. One of those things we know we're supposed to pray for are the saints. We're supposed to do that. Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that. I think it's verse 17 or 18. Tells us we're supposed to do that. We're supposed to pray for those in authority of us. Timothy tells us that. We're supposed to do that. That's the will of God for us. And so you can go through and you can see that the Word of God tells us specifics about the will of God. Now, do we fail in these? Yes, we do. But that doesn't mean we have to continue in that. It means we have to make a decision. And that's what the choice is what are we going to do? Are we going to try to strive and do the will of God? Or are we going to not? Now, it might cost us something to do the will of God. You say, what do you mean? Well, it might cost us some time to spend in the Word of God. It might cost us some time to get down and pray and speak to God about these things. It will cost us something. But you know what? It cost Jesus his life that we can even go to God, period. It's important. It's God's will that we submit to authority. Turn over in your Bibles to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to begin reading verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now, Peter's written mainly to the Jewish believer, okay? And we know that because he talks about the scattered abroad. But in verse 9, 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read down to verse 16. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. So he's kind of talking about that, you know, this earth is not our home. Mother Earth is not my home, folks. I'm just passing through. I'm here because God says this is where I want you right now. And I'm looking forward to the day I can see him face to face more than I am looking for tomorrow getting up and spending the day on this earth. I really am. I'm looking to see him. And so this is not the place that we desire, but we're here for a purpose. And so I'm not ready to leave because God hadn't called me to leave. And that's how you kind of look at those things, or at least I do. Verse 12 says, having your conscience honest among the Gentiles, those are opposite than Jews. Jews are not Gentiles, vice versa. That whereas they speak against you as evildoers, that ye may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. That ordinance of man, that is talking about the authorities that we have over us. That's talking about the country we live in. Not everybody lives in America that's a Christian. We don't think in those terms. There are a lot of Christians who live other places, like India and China and all that, and they're supposed to submit to their authorities and the Lord as well. That's what the Bible teaches. Not just for Americans who happen, we come from a country that initially was founded on biblical principles, but it's everybody who's a Christian. So we're to submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. It may not be good to us, it may not feel good to us, but it's for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or to the governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. So he's talking about we're to put ourselves under the authorities. Why? It's the will of God, because when we do this, and if we're willing to take that step and not think about it from our term and our how we feel about things and what we think that I wouldn't do that or I wouldn't do this, if we do it God's way, things happen God's way. When I do it my way, God's not in it. And I think sometimes we forget that we want to look at the Scripture and see what God has to say about it and come to it and understand that, Lord, I don't understand this. This doesn't make any sense to me, but I'm going to do it because you said it's right. It's your will. And then let God show us or prove. That's what that test, that word we saw earlier in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, where he says prove. That's that test. That's how we test God's word, is we take it for what it is and we do what it says and let God have his way in our lives. God can change things. I can't. If I could change things, or if Greg Peace could change things, everybody in this town would be saved already. Seriously. Isn't that right, Greg? Yeah. But I can't do it. But I need to do what God says, because he can. And so that's what he's telling us, is we're to be under that authority. So it's God's will. God's will also requires that we're willing to do it. Turn to Romans chapter, Ephesians. No, I'm not even there yet. Where do I want to go? 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 8. It's not, I'm getting ahead of myself, but let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. In Romans chapter 6, verse 17 says, "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Again, the point is that we submitted to God, we did it his way and not our way, and by doing that, we were made free from sin, and we were made free to become the servants of righteousness. And that's what we want, because that's what Jesus died for, is to make us righteous. What did I say, 2 Corinthians? In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, if you'll find yourself there, we see that there's a willingness to this. It begins with the heart. The heart has to be right. If you look over in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, Paul's writing here, and he's talking to these believers here that at Corinth, because they had promised a year prior to this to give an offering, a freewill offering, but they didn't come through with it. So he is comparing them to the Macedonians who did. And here in verse 12 he says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." So it begins in the mind, but then we also have that heart that we're willing to do what God wants us to do. And go back to verse 1, and I'm just going to read a few verses here in chapter 8, 2 Corinthians. It says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality." They had nothing. They were in poverty. They didn't have nothing to give. And yet they gave. How is that possible? How can that be? Well, let's read on. "For to their power," well, what they're able to do, he said, "I bear record, yea." And then he says, "beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." So they took the step and went outside of themselves and looking and counting the cost, how much things are going to cost them. Instead, they went to the Lord and said, "How much you want me to give?" Because they went beyond their power. It wasn't within their power to do it. It was the power of God that enabled them to do it. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. That's why he told his disciples, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you can move the mountain, which I don't have yet. I'm not fully equipped. I'm not there yet. But is it available for me today? Can I get to that point? Yes, I can. It's going to take a while because I'm going to have to continue to learn and grow and to trust God more so than I did this morning when I got up. I need to learn to trust him in a deeper way, knowing what the Word of God says and saying yes to God and letting him work through my life. He wants to do that for every believer. Why? Because he came to seek and save that which is lost. People get saved by God's plan, not by mine. I can work up a method. I can come and learn scripture and I can do all this stuff and say, "Oh, they're going to get saved." You know what? Nobody gets saved apart from God. It's the Spirit of God that saves them. No matter what I do or try to do, if I'm not in the will of God, not serving God, then the power of God is not there. These people were willing. Look at verse 4. She says, "praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped." He said, they didn't do it the way we hoped or we as people expected. Their expectation was they'd give some money and we'd take it and whatever. But this is what he says. "But first gave their own selves to the Lord." You see what that means? they gave their own selves to the Lord. In other words, they owned nothing. They had nothing. Everything that they had, possessed, whatever, it was to the Lord. It was the Lord's. So if the Lord said, here, take your coat and give it to somebody, they would do that. Why? Now, I don't know what exactly they did, but that's the idea. Is that when God says, hey, give this to them, give that to them, take this or whatever, it's the Lord's. And He has a greater plan than we can ever have for anything we have. He knows what's ahead of this whole situation. He has a purpose and plan for it. And that's for us, to, as we desire to find out what that is, the first thing we have to do is give ourselves to the Lord. Look what it says on the rest of that verse, and this is verse 5 of chapter 8. And unto us, by the strength of their own power. That doesn't say that? By working hard. No, it says by the will of God. That's the will of God. That's the will of God. When you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you're bought with a price. No longer are you your own. You're God's. And that's the thing that I struggle with, is being God's. Because I want to be me. I want to have my stuff. And I want to have this and that and the other. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. I want to do all the things that, you know, you grew up in America, and we know what America is. We got to have a nice house, two cars, a dog, a cat, and kids, and all that stuff. And we want where we don't have to struggle. If I want to go out and eat at McDonald's, I don't, by the way. I can go out and eat at McDonald's. American dream, right? See, that's not what God is saying. He's saying, you're bought with a price. You're mine. I want you to walk with me and step in the steps I've ordered for you. I want you to trust me that I can do greater things in your life than you can ever do. I want you to believe that when you're looking to me and you're following me and you're obeying me, that the decisions you make are based on my word, that you know you're in the will of God. You don't have to guess about it. You know, sometimes we pray, and I do this too, we pray and say, if the will of God. Now, if you pray about something and God doesn't, you can't find anything the Word of God says don't do it, well, that's an open door to step through it until He closes the door, okay? But if you can find Scripture that there's a principle or something that's against it, don't go through that door. Why? That's not the will of God. Can I say that? I can say that based on the Word of God, yes. Anything goes against the principle of God that I know about and I choose not to do it, that is sin. James chapter 4, verse 17. Wherefore, to whom doeth good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And so I know that, and I have to trust God that I'm going to walk with Him and follow Him. You know, and part of this is Psalm 37:3. I'm going to try to wrap this up. Psalm 37:3 says, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So if we trust in the Lord, we can count on Him to take care of us. Now, He may not give us everything we want, the things that we might like, but He's going to give us the things that will sustain us, for sure. See, in America, we've got it so good, we don't know what it is to have it hard. Even when we go through some difficult times, they're really not difficult when you compare it to other countries where Christians live and where this would stand out in their heart and mind in a greater effect than it does ours, because they see it different than we do. They don't see the nice pew that you're sitting on here, the comfortable pew. They don't see it like this. Now, we were blessed to be born here. There's no doubt about it, and I'm not saying anything about that. But what I'm saying is because, in a sense, we're blessed to have so much that we really don't understand sometimes what it is to be a Christian and to give ourselves completely and wholly to the Lord. I don't. And we're struggling with that. We're trying to learn. It begins with trusting in the Lord. Psalm 32:8 says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in thy way. We already read this. Which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eyes. Psalm 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord. This is where the renewing of the mind is. When we go to please the Lord, you know what He's going to do? He's going to give us the desires of our heart. And you know what those are? I'm bought with a price. They're His desires. In other words, my desire ought to be that nobody I come in contact doesn't hear the Word of God from me. I ought to be able to tell them, not be afraid of what men might say or do. At least that's Paul's example to us, is it not? Regardless of what it might cost me, a beating, a whipping, whatever, thrown in jail in Rome, whatever, my head, whatever it costs me, I'd be willing to do God's will. And everybody I come in contact should. Now, am I there? No. Are you there? Some of you may be, but I'm not yet. But do we want to be there? That's what we're striving for. That's what we want. Why? Because that's what God wants. He wants us to be in the way, His way. Psalm 37, 5 and 6 says, commit thy will unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as a light and judgment as a noonday. That word commit means to roll. That's what it means in the Hebrew. So plan to roll the Lord's way. It's kind of what I got out of it. Wait on the Lord in Psalm 37, 7. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. In other words, don't look at everybody else and think, oh, they're prospering. They got all this and they're doing this and doing that. That's not God's plan maybe for our lives. I don't think it's God's plan for me. I can't find it. I'm really looking for this. I have. I'm really studying this and trying to find out, where does God tell me to eat, drink, and be merry, and to have stuff and just have more stuff and let that stuff own me so I can't go out and do what God's called me when that thing I bought, well, that's the Lord's. How many times has he rode my motorcycle? I haven't seen him on it once yet. It's in the garage. See, it's not that important to me. What's more important to him is people dying going to hell. What's more important to him is that I learn to renew my mind that I might be in his way or roll his way and follow him, committing myself to him. It's that willingness. God's will is revealed, and we're going to close here. God's will is revealed prayerfully. When you seek God, like we said in 1 John chapter 5, praying in the will of God, he will give us that direction. He will show that to us, and he will provide that for us. One of the parts we have to come to is crucifying self. This is one of the hardest things. Paul wrote this, and when you study his life, he's a pretty good example of this. And then if you compared his life to maybe yours or mine, I'm going, really? He said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He demonstrated that in his life. He was willing to sacrifice, and God was leading and guiding him. Now, I'm not saying that we're going to be like Paul. I doubt very seriously that I'll ever reach that point where I will be like Paul. I don't think I'm going to ever have that faith. I don't think I'm going to get there. I'm going to try. I'm going to struggle reading the Word of God, and I'm going to try to obey God. And there are going to be times when I won't. But what I do then is go back to God and say, God, you were right. Please forgive me. I did something I know that you told me not to do. I read it in the Word of God. And I know I'm not supposed to do that. And so when you find that out, you just confess it. And what he does is he puts you back on that steps of a good man ordered by the Lord. He puts you back in the path. And you start to go again. You follow as a sheep. You remember the story of the sheep? There were 99 and one was lost. Even that one Jesus cared for. Just that one. He cares for all of us. But he doesn't want to leave us out in the woods, lost. He wants to bring the whole fold along with him. And that's learning the will of God. He wants to do in our lives. Yes, prayer, seeking God's guidance through his word, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, I'm not going to quote it or even read it. Seeking godly advice. Yes, godly advice is important. Psalm 11, 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. But I want you to know, let me share with you how they're supposed to teach you. Not by their example of what they believe or think or their opinions. They're supposed to use the Word of God. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10, you can look it up later. 10 and 11, it says, as every man hath received the gift, even so men are minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak of the oracles of God. That's the utterance of God. That's what that oracle means. If any man minister, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. In other words, when we give counsel, don't give it by the, hip of your whatever. seated pants. That's what I'm looking for. That phrase. You don't give advice that way. Give advice that's built upon the Word of God. And we as Christians, as we are growing and maturing, we ought to have advice. That's what 2 Corinthians is all about, through the trials that we go through, the tribulations, so we can comfort others. That same principle applies in our lives. As you and I go through things, we need to be able to take those things and look at the Word of God and be able to help somebody make wise decisions. Not, this is what I would do. Because when I say that, I just left God out of the whole thing. This is what I found in the Word of God. This is what God has shown me. This is where, let me show you. That is different than, this is what I would do. Because when we do that, we may not be using the oracles of God. We may be giving somebody advice that's worldly advice and not godly advice. We need advice. We need help. And that's part of the way that God shows His will, is by those that are godly teaching us these things. So the conclusion of this whole thing is God's will is for everyone that's a Christian. And God's will is for everyone that's not born again. That is to be saved. And once we come to that understanding, we put our faith and trust in Christ, then we start allowing God to work in our lives. Again, it's not a leap, okay? It's a step-by-step process. A step-by-step process. But, and you will, I do it too, there are going to be times when we reject things. But we ought to contemplate those things still. We ought to struggle with the Word of God and allow God to have victory in our lives. There's not a person in this room that's saved would say, I don't want God to tell me what to do. I don't want Him to show me anything. I don't want to do what He says. I want to do it my way. Nobody in this room would say that. But I'll tell you what, I do it without saying it. And that's on me, not on God. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time together. We pray You would guide and direct in our lives. We thank You for the Word of God. We understand that it's the power that we have today to know what You want us to do. You have a design. You have a plan. You have a determination. And that is, there's a general will, but there's also a specific will for each individual in this room. And Father, I pray that as we each one seek it, that You would guide and direct in our lives and help us to know it. And we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Sorry.